Okay. We have board time, March 11th at 3:34.
Okay, welcome. Jumping into 1.1 regarding the minutes. Has everybody been able to read the minutes?
Yes.
Ready to approve?
I would move for approval for the Board of County Councilors board time meeting of March 4th.
And I will second that.
Okay, any discussion or corrections recommended?
None.
Okay, hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, minutes are approved for March 4th. 1.2, 1.3, and 2.1. We're going to bring those back for next week and with some refinements. So that would the idea is to hand out the revised version of them and have opportunity for each of us to do our homework on them. So 2.2, conditional use permit ombudsman. On that, it's been some time, we've heard numerous times when the wineries, the kennels, and especially the quarries and the hauling of the rock has been a high impact to neighbors, and there's been a need to ensure we have someone out in the field to handle those, be tuned into the neighborhoods, and to also hear both sides of the neighborhoods, the affected citizens, as well as the owners of those operations. And we also passed in our ordinance that indicated, I think we communicated at that time, that we would make sure that we follow through that all of those policies are ensured to come to pass. So with that, Mark, you've already done some homework on that to see what we can do to budget a full-time person to do that.
Before we budget that, about 3 weeks ago, I went to around to several people in the office and ask, you know, how do I do this? Because citizens are contacting me with problems. And for me to contact inspection department or permit department or whatever is really out of my realm. And so I can send it all to Mark McCauley, but, you know, we need to develop a process. And someone brought a copy of a process and a policy that exists of how we do that. And I didn't bring it in here, but I was going to bring it in and talk about in board time about that about a week ago. And it didn't travel forward in my file. And it's a policy that's already established that actually indicates how we handle that when somebody comes in with a complaint. And it's where it goes to one of our senior policy analysts. And so we take them the information we get or sit down with them and discuss the problem, take whatever documents we have, and then put it in the hands of one of the policy analysts to research, and there's actually a chronology of what they do. And I wasn't aware, I mean, for the first 2 months I was here, or two and a half, I wasn't aware that we had a written process for that. And then the policy person researches it with whatever departments are involved, does ask for other inspections or talks to the people who do that about how to proceed with it, and then writes a memorandum back to us, and it would probably need to come to each of us so we all kind of know, because people come to multiple ones of us on this stuff so that we would all know where that is in the process. So it was such a relief to see that document and to realize that I don't have to keep floundering through this. And then I know some people that contacted me have contacted you or Tom about the same problem. And so Tom approaches it his way, I approach it my way. And that's just inefficient and confusing. So, well, I'm not saying you're confusing. I'm just saying that for staff to be contacted.
That's right. You going to take that?
For staff to have to contact from more than one commissioner, it's confusing to them too. So there is a process, and I don't know if we need additional staff to do that. That's one of the things I had on my mind is I don't know about Axel's the one I'm thinking of because he knows what all the current processes are and who runs what department and all that. But I don't know.
I have a copy of that document. It was from like 2011 or something, and it kind of just says how to handle it. I think what the chair...
This is different.
It's a little different in the sense that what the chair's talking about is some of the reoccurring theme issues that we get and how sensitive they are and important. And I think what you're talking about, while the process may become the same for the ombudsman or the conditional use permit person, Peter and I are kind of generalists. We handle everything that kind of comes in. Anna does a lot of the work. Linnea does a lot of the work. But we handle kind of anything that comes into the office. I think what the chair is focused on and what we've worked on with this position is specific to these kind of ongoing, continued, difficult issues that have perspective. These things, I guess why they're different, I'll try to articulate it, is they... Many of these require things that need to be checked in on. And a lot of what we do is when people call, they have an issue already that they want us to work on, fix, resolve, help them through, find a solution. These things require, I think, a little bit more than that. They actually have permits and conditional use agreements where we're supposed to kind of be actively and regularly going out and checking in and making sure things are being taken care of.
And there might be 100 conditions on one project.
So there's a little different flavor of checking in on.
So you're talking about there being two different levels.
Well, this person would live down in code enforcement and would kind of actively check in on these things. We'll live up here.
Yeah, and there's some geographic dispersion that takes a while to get from one quarry to another, and you would want to pop in and do unannounced inspections, make sure that they're covering, tarping their loads, make sure that they're controlling silt.
Well,
and
I completely agree that we need adequate staff to monitor conditions on the kinds of activities that give the biggest heartburn, present the largest danger, present the largest potential for pollution, where
and they agitate large numbers of people.
Well, and it's for those reasons that happens. So what have we done in the past?
Well, I want to bring your attention.
It all just happened when the three of us got here.
Well, honestly, with conditional use permits, they're granted, and then it's put in a drawer or a shelf.
With
the code enforcement staff that we have, we're chasing complaints that we get day to day, and they simply don't have the time.
I think let's make sure we keep the conversation separated.
There's
code enforcement, which is kind of what this position is focused on, and code enforcement has always kind of largely been driven by the phone call and the complaint, and we don't tend to go out looking for problems, although to some degree we do. We typically wait for a citizen to call, and then we try to resolve the solution. And we have code enforcement officers for that. I think what you're talking about is separate, and that is how this office works to satisfy constituents and citizens with issues. And that is an ongoing that's a conversation we bump into about every 3 to 6 months because it is difficult because there are three of you, and how we try to make it all work is
so
kind of...
We do need to follow that process.
Yeah.
That's one maybe outcome of this discussion.
Actually, what I'd like to be able to do is separate that out because that's a completely different discussion. this has to do, Mark, why don't you share a little bit what you envision this role of this new person to do?
I haven't spoken yet. I want to speak.
Okay, time's up.
So, first of all, you need to go back and look at what the charter says. The charter says that we don't go down to the departments and talk to those people. We have three primary people that we deal with right here. And the manager needs to be kept abreast of what's going on, too. And what's happened in the past, individuals have come to each one of us with their problem, and all three of us are triplicating
exactly
the work, when in fact the staff is doing it. These are the only staff that I'm aware of that we have a kind of a free hand at. Everything else, I usually send it, put as much information as I can together, and give it to Mark, and Mark goes to the director of the department, and that director goes on to talk to people involved. I'm not sure if we have a shortage of staff, because what I'm experiencing now is all the things that have been put on hold for one thing or another, staff has reopened up their books. They're not acting off of complaints. They just opened up their book and they're going back out there. I haven't had a chance to share that with Mark yet. But so when I have code enforcement opening up their books and going back over two-year-old situations that are on hold for one reason or another, that tells me they have too much time and that they could probably be directed in a different fashion.
Okay, Mark?
let's see, I was asked a question by Councillor Stewart.
In other words, an invitation to describe the role of this this conditional use person, ombudsman,
right,
code enforcement individual.
First, so it would only be to review the outcomes of conditional use permits, whoever gets them.
That would initially...
And ask conditions,
yes,
that we need to monitor. And would it be for active ongoing things? I know that we've listed quarries in here. And so...
First order of business would be to conduct an inventory of conditional use permits that have been issued.
Yes.
Because I'm not sure we have a handle on how many
there
we've issued,
so
and for what.
Yeah.
Then once an inventory is conducted, all the documentation would have to be assembled, and then we would have to become familiar with the conditions and then begin some sort of proactive process of ensuring that every condition by every permit holder is being adhered to. Now, we've had conditional use permits that have been more problematic, principally with surface mining.
Right.
Trucks that speed, loads that aren't tarped, et cetera, et cetera. So that would obviously be a prime focus up front, is trying to ensure compliance by the quarry operators. But then beyond that, we've got wineries and other uses in the county that we want to make sure are compliant with the conditional use permits that have been granted.
Would we start with those facilities that we're getting complaints about, that we know have been granted the permit to operate and that conditions were attached to, so that we can get to the heart of what are the current problems first? Would it be?
Yes. if we have a conditional use permit with 75 conditions on it and we've not heard one complaint regarding that facility, then I would imagine that would be done later in the week, and if I have active calls, that we would pursue those first. Now, beyond that, to the degree that they can investigate other code issues, then maybe some of their time would be devoted to that. I'm not aware of what kind of backlog, if they have one, exists in code enforcement. You know, they get 10 calls a week, and they can complete 8. And so 2 from this week carry over to next week, and then they get 10 more calls next week, and they work 8. So now you have a backlog of 4. I haven't had a conversation with Marty on how current they are.
So are we talking about adding a position?
Yes. Can I elaborate a little bit?
Sure.
This is not a request just simply to add another staff member to code enforcement, another general purpose kind of person that does is a little bit more of what we're already doing. This is to fill a void that was clearly identified in particular, when we passed the surface mining ordinance, we obligated the county to follow through and to ensure that those conditions that had to do with surface mining and the hauling were enforced. It's a, in other words, to define the limited focused scope of that person in contrast to the just one more person in the code enforcement area is critical to this. This is a policy decision that allows us to be able to respond to those citizens that we've heard from neighborhoods of citizens that said, we need you to ensure that the county does their part in these three areas: surface mining, wineries, and kennels. Mainly because those are the highest profile, the most impact potentially kinds of conditional uses. We have to be really careful that we don't expand this to include all the conditional uses of all the permits we've ever issued, because that just simply ends up being another code enforcement person. Just like the sheriff had or has, I remember Shane Gardner had the role where he would be out there in the community meeting with neighborhoods and just proactively going out there and building relationships with the citizens and with those that are firsthand involved in these high-profile kinds of things. That's what I understand, Mark, is what the appropriate role for this person is. It's unique and different than any other role that this position does not exist in the county now. And the definition of their do's and don'ts, what they would do and what they wouldn't do, is really the task at hand. And I look to you to suggest the definition of that role to ensure that we do what we promised the citizens that we would do, in particular when we passed the surface mining ordinance. I think of the Livingston Mountain people, neighbors. I think of the David Rogers and Howard Jones and the Yakult Quarry and those that are affected along the route of these trucks. That proactive, non-complaint driven, but actually proactively engaging the process is what we indicated to citizens we would do. And this is to follow through on that promise.
Okay.
Did you see Marty's email where he sent up the... Because there is a package with a description that fits what Councilor Miller was just saying.
Yeah.
No, who would the person report to?
Paul Scarpelli, Marty Snow.
And so...
Well, except for that portion of the deputy sheriff. Deputy sheriff would be in charge of dust control and speed.
Well, that
would be by referral.
So I'll chime in because I helped Paul. That we put a budget request in. So there is a request for this position in as a budget package, and it's described in the way that Chairman Ward just described it. And so we have that description, and you will see that budget package. And just to give a little perspective on it, that position probably came a lot out of, you know, my complaining a little bit, and then we saw a lot of it in the surface mining. So what you have to understand is when we adopted the surface mining overlay, as Councilor Medor said, this was something the citizens really asked for, was somebody to look in on these things as they come up. And in fact, the surface mining overlay we adopted even contemplates that to some degree, because we implemented a new operations and a new maintenance and enforcement section where we said we were going to take a little bit more of a proactive approach and requiring the applicant to show us the conditions and then tell us how they were going to follow through with them and how we were going to be allowed to inspect them. So our new ordinance actually contemplates something like this. The way it's been done is, quite frankly, it's been largely complaint-driven, pretty sporadic, and not very coordinated. And so I handle all the complaints and issues with Yakult. Jan Bazala handles everything with Livingston. We get a lot of issues with Daybreak, but that one kind of, it's kind of like who answers the phone, and that we've had issues out there with night hauling and letting people know that that's going to occur and how it, you know, may disrupt their neighborhood and what routes will be taken. And so a person could, we could use a full-time person just on quarries alone. You know, Yakult has 108 conditions, and so probably a third of those are ones that need to be checked in on.
This person would be stationed in code enforcement, and they would report to Marty Snell. And so when did the budget proposal get written for this?
It was submitted last Friday.
Yeah, it had to be submitted by last Friday. That's when the budget packages.
Yeah, in the very near future, Adriana Prada, our budget manager, will be brought into my one-on-ones to sit with you and go over the submissions that have been turned in by department heads and other electeds.
Be nice if the discussions came before the budget proposal gets submitted.
Or they can occur simultaneously.
It's a request.
Yeah, I understand. So, but this sounds like it's already been in the mill, that this has been going on. So
there's a monitoring and enforcement section in the surface mining overlay.
Right.
And
we would look into it.
Yep.
So who would get reports on what they get? Because we get the complaints. It would be helpful if we got, through you is fine with me, but if we get updates about what monitoring is being done, what enforcement is, how they're negotiating with the mining operations or whatever, so that when people come to speak to us in public communication, we know what the current status is of this. So would you envision some kind of weekly or monthly update to the commissioner so we kind of know what the status is?
Yeah, what I would expect is that over time you would receive fewer of those based on the results of having this person on staff.
Yeah.
But until we reach a point where the complaint level is so low and infrequent, we could report to you monthly or however frequently you would like.
Let me suggest that if that person does the job the way we envision them to do, then it falls in your domain. And you got it, you handle it. But what I do wonder about one potential alternative, and it's probably not a good alternative, but I got to ask. There's two, who they report to. Paul Scarpelli could be one, but the other potential would be our sheriff. And I just before we do this, have you talked with him about this? Because many of these have to do with trucks.
What I would suggest is that we look at the 100 and how many
and that
conditions and see how many of them are sheriff related and how many are not.
So I would suggest that before we solidify that, we shouldn't just presume that it's all code enforcement, but it should at least include a conversation with our sheriff. And it's probably most appropriate to be in code enforcement, but we should make sure up front
right.
with that.
Because if they come to your hearings and complain to you, and another elected official is responsible for the program, then
we still direct it that way.
The conditional use permit, Marty Snell, as the community development director, is the responsible official over that permit. But it is difficult because as you vet through the complaints, many of those conditions, as Mark said, are split up among all kinds of different departments. So
might
sheriff,
be
public
DES,
works, health,
or
DES.
Whoever you would, it would be you handle the staff in the organ, and you can recommend whatever structure that would be for this person to be able to proactively interact with our neighborhoods. Because here's one thing that I can imagine. There would be a natural gravity that would pull what I would think it would be an unintended direction. That the person just kind of after a while just kind of becomes another code enforcement person. And I think it's very important that this is very specific role defined up front that says this is what they do and what they don't do so that it doesn't go that direction. That primarily the surface mining overlay ordinance That's primarily, but I think, where I spend most of the time. The wineries and the kennels are periodic when it comes to, and in fact, I'm not even sure that should be on the list, because the bulk of this has to do with the surface mining impacts.
So I think you need to go back and look at your sheriff. We have a commercial enforcement division that actually does trucks, make sure that they're on the right roads and their weight's on the right bridges. We have that. To my knowledge, we've never used it. We've only sent the deputy up there.
Well, that is, I think that is definitely Narramore. We sat down with him.
And you can't have a code enforcement person going up there and pulling over a commercial truck with no authority to do so.
No, but they can file a report with the sheriff if they're...
And they would probably do that every day. You know, right now,
You have a commercial enforcement division.
Yeah, we do. And, it's
and you have your deputies out there also. You need to use those. Animal control, we've reduced their workload almost half. And code enforcement and animal control overlap in some areas of complaint. Code enforcement also goes out there on barking dogs, for example, when animal control cannot. So I believe that we have the workforce necessary, but it needs to be given that direction. And some of the people you talk about, you're not going to make them happy until you give them $10,000 for the water that they ran to their house. You have two people, and you're going to look at upsetting the whole enforcement code system for those two people.
Well, why don't we do this, Mark? If you can, you feel like you can put together a description, I would think that we would start with not wineries, just simply one thing. Surface mining overlay.
Yeah, Marty has written in his package, if I could, this position is necessary for implementation of the new monitoring and enforcement section of the surface mining overlay ordinance. The ordinance requires that, among other things, county staff ensures compliance with conditions of approval, reviews operating requirements and standards for each condition of approval, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So
that is the one and only
focus. So that's the focus.
That would be great.
Yeah.
And if we can nail that down and define it that way, then it's a policy on our point. We're making sure that county's obligation is being met for the surface mining overlay, and it also guards against them just simply become another code enforcement person.
Right.
So do you need to do any homework on that, any preparation on that, or is it clear enough already?
Clear enough.
Okay. We have somebody on staff already that we're thinking about using for that, or is this going to be a new hire?
We'd have to advertise, and we'd see who applies, mm-hmm. and we would conduct interviews or evaluate qualifications for our standard
in consideration what I shared with you.
Yes, sir, but I have two other counselors I'm listening to as well, so.
What were you thinking?
We have staff who should be doing this already. The commercial law enforcement we have deals strictly with trucks. And every time we've sent the deputy sheriff up there, they come back and said, the trucks aren't speeding. There was no dust control. So send them up there more often, or have commercial code go up there and look at it. And we've only had one other complaint on wines, on the winery, and that was Lucy's, and we've adjusted that DBC to a DBA, so we probably shouldn't have any more noise there, but yet, so we've got two people, two complaints, and we're hiring staff to do it, or recognizing a whole new job description here when we have it duplicated right here.
Well, if I could add, so that when those calls come in, they come to me, counselor. That someone will call, and I'll fully admit, current day, current time, typically similar individuals will call. But those are the people watching the road. And I will call Deputy Narramore and ask him to either go up there, he can do weights,
yep.
or he can do speed. But someone has to coordinate that response, because they don't call Deputy Narramore. They call the county, typically me or Marty's shop to do the complaining. The other piece, I can respond to citizens all day long. That's what I get paid to do. I have no problem taking a phone call or an email and trying to help somebody regardless of what it is. The thing that worries me and that I think is important about this position is we have these conditional use permits sitting out there somewhere on a shelf. They're hundreds of pages long. They've got hundreds of conditions. And when I first dug into the Yakel issue when I first got here 4 years ago, mm-hmm. you know, there's things in there like these 12 wells are to be monitored by the operator. And the reports are...
For a period of time of so many years,
right.
Which has since passed.
And they're supposed to be sent in quarterly. And everybody's supposed to get a shared copy of that. And we had to backdate that. We hadn't got that. Now, we hadn't asked for it, but nobody seemed to know. You know, there's things sometimes where when these things don't get looked at as regular as they should have...
That could be a health issue, too. Well, so that's important not to fall through.
It could be a liability issue for us. It could be... Many of those things are small, some are bigger, but there are things that somebody every once in a while should be flipping through there, or if we have them good enough where they're entered into our permit system, somebody gets an email, hey, it's time for this quarter's well monitoring report, or you're supposed to receive the blasting reports from the quarry this month, check it out, call the operator. There's just things in there that someone needs to be looking in on regularly, and I think this position could do that.
So the title would be something like Surface Mining Ombudsman or Surface Mining Officer? What would you come up with? Something?
Well, I think those details need to be worked out.
Okay. All right. So do you have enough to propose back to us with the budget and with the specifications to see, and then we can weigh in?
Well, just to clarify, are you looking to see, at the same time we talk budget, are you looking for a completed job description and job announcement? Pardon me?
When is the budget?
I don't know when we're going to have the hearing to approve it. It's probably 3 weeks out.
Oh, that's plenty. That's fine.
So we
have
time.
We
have time to work this.
And I would urge us not to define this job description too narrowly. It does need to deal with the things that we know are the most volatile right now, are the biggest source of unhappy citizens because there's supposed to be conditions and it doesn't appear they're being followed. But I don't think we want to define it to just surface mining overlay. Although there's plenty of that now, but some of that over time may get mined out. So, and I would want the flexibility that if we find other things this person needs to do, that we can, is there any reason why the responsibilities, I mean, when you define a job description, you know how to write them so there's enough flexibility in there that if we need them on a temporary or semi-permanent basis for something that it still meets the criteria for their
job.
Sure,
and when they're first hired, there will be a learning curve, and there will be processes and procedures to set up, and then once those are in place, they'll take less of this person's time, the relationships with the neighbors that will have been established, so then there may be bandwidth for other things.
So,
but no telling how long that process will take.
So would we look for someone who's already familiar with the county processes, the county codes, the interaction with the sheriff? In other words, somebody who brings their skills preloaded to the job.
That would be helpful if we could find such a person. Yes.
Well, and would we consider the possibility we may currently have somebody on staff that could do this? And we could replace whatever position there.
Yes.
Okay.
In any case, that's your domain, Mr. Executive.
It is. But I don't mind answering the question.
Yeah. I know. We're a team.
Yep.
Yes, I'm not directing. I'm just inquiring.
And I'm glad that you get in there and fight for the citizens. And you have an advocate there in Mark as well.
So.
Okay, so you're going to bring that forward with a proposal whenever the 3 weeks or so is up for the budget?
Yes.
Moving on. Okay, so that's 2.2. Anything else about 2.2, anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Council reports.
I have one. I'm getting complaints for what we're putting on the grid. And you shared with me that you've been putting the drafts of things on the grid. I don't think anything should go on the grid without at least two councilors agreeing to it, and it should only be a finished product. We're getting people coming up and testifying, chewing this out for something that we're working on. It's just a draft.
What are you thinking?
Anything that's finalized.
What did we put?
Well, I think last week we had the deal on with transparency and collective bargaining information.
That was just documents that we posted from, we normally put our board time documents as part of our transparency
policy.
Three
people testify Tuesday and that's over the coals for the and twisting what the intent of what we're trying to do with unions and and collective bargaining units. And then we also, and in the past, we've been putting drafts of things up there, and we end up with people coming and testifying, complaining about the drafts when it's not what we're doing. So I think we're getting things up on the grid that shouldn't be there until they're done, until they're ready to go up there.
Here's what I'm thinking, is that part of our transparency policy is whatever documents are provided during board time or work sessions or our BOCC meetings, those documents, just part of the transparency process, just go on the grid, whether they're whether they're draft or finished. If it's something that we have, our policy has been that the citizens should have those too. And they can see, even though they may be work in process kind of documents, they might not be finished. They're the documents that's part of our, just simply putting them out there because they see them like we see them.
That's like coming in, taking the things off my desk and putting them on the grid when there's things I'm working on.
Well,
we don't do that.
These are during public meetings that those documents are provided to all of us.
Well, you actually put those other things on the grid, and we hadn't even seen them yet. I hadn't seen them. You hadn't seen them. And you put them on the grid. And then we had two or three guys come up and represented the union and kind of ran us over the coals for what was on the grid. And I'm looking at these guys saying, what are you talking about?
Well, we handed them out during our board time. And it was after that board time was over, we put them on the grid. That's
so what happened, we're having people complain about our draft. And every time we do a draft, they come back and complain about the draft. I'd rather have a finished product for them to complain about. I shouldn't go out there and put things up on the grid without you knowing about it. And you shouldn't be doing it without me knowing about it. Or her.
Hard to get to a finished product right out of the gate, and frequently suggestions are brought to board time for discussion, mm-hmm. so that the draft can be crafted into a final product,
or so that we discard it,
or
that,
or so
and
that
say,
we,
sure.
well, let's
and
not
see what we're chewing
sure,
on.
Sure,
yeah.
Exactly.
So that's been part of the process all along. Anytime we have any documents that any one of us bring forward to any public meeting, we put them on the grid, and whether they're whatever form they are, that's publicly provided. This is a public meeting.
I think we need two votes to do that. So the rest of us know
so
what's being put on the grid.
If I want something to come out on board time, I should let you know in advance of the agenda being prepared.
It would
that
be good,
I'm interested
especially if
it's
just things
that
we're working on.
Yeah.
Because people get the wrong conception. Our perception of what we're doing and what we're trying to achieve.
Well, first, as the chair, I welcome any document that my colleagues want to be able to make available to the public. That's the idea, is be transparent and share. This is public business, and I don't require a second vote to put any of your documents out there. I'd say, well, you want to put it on there, let me accommodate you.
I don't think that's the way it should be done.
Well, another thing maybe we could do is, because I have the same, especially with the issues that we're on today, I felt the same way. But
we wouldn't go out and put those on there.
Okay, so what if we said we see a draft of board time on Friday, And if there's anything on there we think is premature, we advise somebody that we're not comfortable having that on board time.
I thought we'd do it on board time here.
Pardon me?
Oh, no. I'm talking about the grid, the things that we put up on the grid.
Well, I agree with you about having just an idea thrown up on the grid, because it gives people the idea that it's an action.
Yeah.
So to, until it's approved or accepted, but then board time is a lot of times just a discussion about things. So
we normally mark draft documents on the grid as draft, so that the citizens understand that it's draft.
Well,
it's still a point of complaining about our draft.
We want feedback from the citizens. We want to be.
But we're not done with the product. We have a finished product. I don't mind them coming back and complaining about what we end up with on a finished product. Then we can call it a draft and go back and fix it. But when we have two or three drafts of the same thing, and every week someone comes up and is complaining to us, that's not what we're here for. We're here to put things together and come back with the finished product and do it. I think that we've gotten ourselves in trouble when we don't need to have irate people come up, and they're on TV. And every time they come up and on TV, they're expressing discontent with the council's drafts.
Well, let me counter that. If we're beginning to work on something, and especially board times are more work in process. If we're going down a path and we're trying to formulate, make some sausage, and we want that to be in public, and we want to hear back from citizens. Do you like what we're doing? Would you like to offer some improvements? That the feedback is welcome. It helps us to do a better job, more informed, because we don't know what we don't know. So the draft, adding the drafts as we present them in public here, in our public meetings, is a great opportunity because it can possibly inform us better before we finalize it.
I don't think people understand the grid. The average person doesn't understand the grid in the same way you do. They see anything that's published on the county website as something that's going to happen. So in that sense, I share your caution about putting stuff up prematurely. But there has to be a way that we can figure this out. I don't have it in my brain right now, but...
For consent agenda items, before the consent agenda on Thursday, 4 or 5 days in advance, we post all the documents. So let's say there's a resolution that we post, and it comes before the board on Tuesday, and the board says, I'd like to propose an amendment to the resolution. Well, then the sausage is made right there in the public meeting.
Yep.
The amendment is proposed. There's a motion to approve it. It's seconded. It gets approved, and it's amended. So then we post the amended resolution on the grid after the hearing. Mm-hmm. So they're even on...
But that's a finished product by the time it comes into the public hearing. So that's the distinction here. That's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So we can figure this out.
I'm getting beat up and bruised a lot. We don't have to. So
I'll take those bruises.
You're not the only one.
Hey, I'm already getting my share too.
Yeah.
Well, see, you all are precluded from working together unless you're in a public meeting.
Yeah.
So
like today.
Right. And so there's no way for a draft to be finalized in the back room. It has to be done publicly.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
why we do
well,
that.
As ugly as it might be at times, it has to happen.
There are ways that a written comment could come to you, and you can accumulate those. So, it can be done. If I have the same concern, because the minute it goes on the grid, it looks like a published document. Mm-hmm. That's how the general public reads it.
That's
and
what
so
they justify too.
if we're trying to do brainstorming in board time, which is part of what we try to do, and people see all the documents associated with that brainstorming, I think it does confuse them, yeah. And I think they do draw conclusions.
So the meeting before this meeting was kind of the effect of one of those.
Well, I would think that we would ensure that if there's a draft document that's not been voted on and approved, that we would just simply always make sure, and I think we already are, we're saying draft. Marcus, maybe we ought to look and make sure we're not leaving something in there that looks like it's not draft. In any case, we'll be aware. Yes, Anna?
I think one of the weaknesses that we have in this discussion in this area is that board time agenda is often not finalized until the morning of board time. And so we somehow need to do a better job of getting the board time agenda finalized with all the supporting documents, no changes, to all the counselors in a reasonable amount of time, which I think would be at least 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I think Councillor Stewart was mentioning maybe Friday. We tried for Monday, but we haven't done well with that. So that might resolve some of the problems, so everyone would have a chance to see those documents in plenty of time, and it's not hitting their desk at the last minute.
That way I don't get a phone call and don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
And I think that's what I just suggested.
Let's try and see if it works.
Okay.
So the other thing I have is something I'm not going to give you a draft of because it's just an idea that I put together. And we've been 5 years without raising our property taxes, 1% allowable by law without a vote of the people. But three of those, I think it was 2011, 12, and 13, there was possibly a resolution that was put together with the budget that we passed that banked those 1%. So we have a 3% property tax hanging over our head today that could be called up by a different board without a vote of the people. So that includes the 1% for that year plus another 3. That's 4% without a vote of the people. I'm working on the research with staff to go back and address the way that they were put there and remove them in the same fashion so that we address our needs as we need them. And if we need more than 1%, we can go to the people rather than surprise them with a 4 or 5% increase.
Sure.
So I'm putting something together and I'll have a draft by next board week.
Good, good. I think it's a really good idea.
I'm not going to put it on the grid.
Okay. I'd be curious to find out what the real scoop is there, because I've had this conversation early on with a year or two ago, asking if there be some way to guard and protect the citizens from a future big hit when it comes to property tax increases. Mm-hmm. And they, at the time, the counsel I got was that, nope, you can't take that away. I would like to see if there be a policy that would basically say reset the clock.
Mm-hmm.
That bank is by policy eliminated, so that that threat does go away. So I'm more power to you. I look forward to seeing that. Thanks for that leadership.
Yeah, and we have found those, and it looks to me like they were done with resolution.
Yeah, they were.
And therefore, we could remove them with a resolution.
Great.
I'm aware, being a former legislator, that any law could be removed when put on by somebody else. So.
Excellent. Great.
We'll have more better draft next week.
Sure. All right. Commissioner?
No report.
No report.
Nothing to throw in.
Anna?
Just have one small thing, and maybe the board already is aware of this. The winery code amendment change, Councillor Medora asked me to find out about the hearing schedule on that, and so I discovered that Marty told us that it has to go to Planning Commission first and then to a public hearing. And I asked him to give us the backup document for that, and it was on Title 40, and it pretty clearly says that. So if any of you counselors would like a copy of that, I have a copy.
In other words, you verified that even that minor change of the method of measuring needs to go through the Planning Commission first.
That's what they're interpreting section 3 to read, but I think each one of you counselors might want to read it and see, make sure that...
If there's a policy, you wouldn't have to have a hearing.
It's
a change of ordinance, do.
I'll just read it really quickly. By changing code text, type 4 text amendment, whenever the public health, safety, and general welfare, I think falls under general welfare, requires such an amendment. Such a change may be proposed by the board on its own motion or by motion of the Planning Commission or by petition as herein set forth. Any such proposed amendment or change shall be first submitted to the Planning Commission as it shall within 90 days after a hearing recommend to the board approval, disapproval, or modification of the proposed amendment.
Okay.
And that's the, Marty says that's the proper...
Okay. Thank you for bringing that forward, Anna. What I would suggest, Mark, can you follow through on that and see what Chris Horn says? Because if Chris Horn says even the changing of the letter from C to A requires a Planning Commission process, then let's do it. Let's schedule the Planning Commission. If he says, no, that's de minimis kind of... no significance, then it would just simply go to a regular public hearing. We'll follow process, and whatever he says is the process, we'll just simply get her done.
Okay? All right. We'll do.
Thank you. Anything else, Anna?
No.
Okay. Axel?
I'm good.
Peter? Mark?
Nothing, sir.
Oh, okay.
We might report to the other counselors that we had our CBTV interview.
Yeah, go ahead, Cheryl.
With Jim Demon.
Mm-hmm.
With Jim Demon?
At the suggestion of Councilor Medora, I invited the chair to come along, and we tag-teamed it. I think, have you seen the video?
Oh, I didn't.
I have it, and I looked at it. I watched it last night, and other than looking like an old guy, I think we did well.
It was fun.
It was a good interview. And,
well, great.
Glad I don't know when it's going to be edited and put out there for the general public, but I'd be happy. I'll send you the
You have the link. I watched it. It's really good.
You think so?
Oh, great.
Yes. So they invited you for an interview.
Yes.
And at your suggestion, the chair of the board came with the whole purpose to demonstrate we're a team.
Exactly.
And wonderful.
And that message was transmitted several times during the interview.
Thank you for thinking of that. That's very productive, very effective. Thank you for that.
Yes. It's right here in the frontal lobe.
And I know that's not the only time that you have extended that courtesy to demonstrate that we're all working as a team, because that's what we are. So we look like what we are.
Yes, and tomorrow at the State of the County, the citizens will see more of that.
And speaking of which...
Oh, yes.
Oh, what a nice transition.
Yeah.
I need to touch base with you about the text.
Yes.
And if that works for you, could you just push the button and send it to Mary Hill? And just to clarify that you will be introducing the Spirit Award winners... Mm-hmm. The two of you will then go up on the stage and join the chair. Commissioner Stewart will be shaking hands. You will be physically picking up the glass and handing
it to the bronze holder.
Right.
And handing them in two pieces.
Two pieces, right, and then shaking hands.
Yeah.
And
my implant isn't cooperative, and the arm isn't as strong as it needs to be yet. I tried to pick one up, and it's like, so.
Well, you have to get two pieces.
Even two pieces.
We've been handing out that same plaque.
Well, we're running out of those. We'll redesign.
Last year.
Yeah.
We'll make them out of wood.
We should
hardwood.
We should at least drop one at least once. Just you know.
Well, then you should have me hand them out.
This is our last chance.
Yeah, last chance to drop them.
That would break Jen Leonard's heart.
So
we don't want that.
I would suggest that we get there a little early tomorrow. It's kind of like if you're going to have a wedding, you do a wedding rehearsal.
Right.
Yep. And
where do we sit? And where's the podium?
So get there a little early tomorrow. And
what's your suggestion time wise?
What do you suggest?
3:30 is the start of the event.
The balloon goes up at 3:30. So
is that
3:10?
The program starts at 4.
Correct.
So we'll pick a time. Be there at 3:15?
Yeah, I'm going to go early.
Okay, us three will be there at 3:15.
No later than 3:15.
How okay, all right, between 3:10 and 3:15, we'll be there for the wedding rehearsal. Okay.
Okay, and one last thing. You recall Amy Bice and the bridge.
Yes.
Heath Henderson and I are meeting with her tomorrow morning.
Thank you for that.
At the bridge.
Yeah, the good people. I sure hope that comes out okay.
All right. Quick do-over. I apologize.
Oh, sure.
I've briefed you guys before, but I just want you to know that we're kind of continuing with the process for the negotiations around a possible franchise agreement with CenturyLink. We received an application. I think last time we talked, they were thinking about, or they were going to submit an application, and we had some preliminary discussions with them. So they are applying, and they have applied. They submitted applications to the City of Vancouver and the county to bring cable service as CenturyLink here. So Chris Cook and I, Jim Demon at the city, and their attorney, we kind of continue that process of negotiation. Now, it's just in the application phase. The second piece, where we'll get more involved, and certainly you'll be involved and updated, is the franchise agreement. So coming to terms with what the franchise agreement will be with them. So
and it's my understanding we don't have a choice about them coming in. We cannot prohibit or restrict.
There's certainly some rules and laws
federal.
From the FCC and otherwise
federal.
About how this works and operates. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And we currently have a franchise which was updated fairly recently with Comcast. So there's that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But more to come with the franchise agreement.
Do we? I don't think we have anything on the grid for the county state of the county tomorrow. Let's put something on today's. In fact, go ahead and make it. Do we have a second vote to put something on?
We're going to put your speech on.
So I would think we would make an entry for the State of the State of the County tomorrow on the grid so that people say when and where. And
we don't have that up there?
No, we should.
I know.
It's on Facebook.
I've been out of town for a week, but I believe at least the news release is there. I thought there was something else.
People go to the grid all the time for stuff, so I would think that let's redundantly make sure we make it very visible.
Should have been all a week ago.
Yeah,
right, so here on the homepage, there's information about the state of the county.
There you go.
I don't look at the homepage that much. I look at the grid. Okay, motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second?
Adjourned.
All in favor? Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Oh, thanks.
Who do I think I am?
Councillor Stewart, can I